right, everybody, welcome to today's show. I am so excited to talk today. We are talking about people's relationships with money. And I love this topic because nobody ever talks about it. So I invited my good friend and fellow coach, Daniela Gerhard, to join us. Hey, Daniela.
Hi there.
Daniela is a business coach. So she works with individuals to help coach them on their business, to help coach them on different business practices so that they can grow. But Daniela comes in contact with entrepreneurs, solopreneurs, teams who are struggling with their very own money issues. And as Daniela and I were having just a personal conversation, because we're good friends, we were talking about our own relationship with money and how that shows up for us. So I said, we are bringing it to the podcast. So Daniela and I today just want to talk about your relationship with money, what that means. And it's our hope that everybody who listens will leave asking themselves that exact same question. So, Daniela, welcome, first of all.
Glad to be here.
Before we dive in, just tell everybody a little bit about yourself.
Absolutely. So I am a wife. I'm a mom. I am a business coach, like Elizabeth mentioned, in the financial services industry. So I specialize with financial advisors specifically, but also other entrepreneurs. And I really enjoy it because I get to witness their initiatives, their goals, their challenges, and what they want to achieve in their practice, in their life, and build a plan to get them there. So It's really exciting for me to do that.
So you and I have worked together for a long time, and we were having a conversation about, I forget what it was, but we were having a conversation about how we think about money and how money shows up for us. And I think I asked you the question, well, what's your relationship with money? What did that mean to you? Like, when I asked you that question, what did that definition look like for you?
Yeah. And it was such a great question too. I kind of sat back and I said, what is my relationship with money? And the first thing that came to mind was, it's a resource. It's a tool.
Yep.
Then I also thought, well, what does it mean to me? And it's financial freedom, financial ability, and freedom to be able to do things that and do better.
Yep. And when I asked you the question, you kind of lit up a little bit, you know, whereas other people I've asked that question to, the opposite happens. But when we talk about relationships with money, I think we're really talking about like values, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. And I think that stems from, and we had this conversation, Elizabeth, stems from, I think, childhood.
Yeah.
For me specifically, my parents came, you know, it's the regular old story about coming to this country for a better life. And they came from Sicily, which was not a good place to build a family, be financial secure. And my dad has this vision. First, it was this dream to, they bought land and to come to the States to build their house. Like, that was it.
No
way.
Yes,
that was their goal. And then, of course, they said, wait a minute, we're providing, we want a better life for our kids. We want a better life together.
So were you born here?
I was born here. My brother and I were both born here. Okay. So they came in their early 20s. My mother, they didn't know the language. Yeah. And here they are saying, we need a better life. There's something better out there for me.
They knew it.
Yeah.
They knew it. So they are truly living the American dream now, for sure, with your beautiful family. I'm sure your brother's beautiful family, your beautiful children.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. And going back to values, and I think a lot of the values that my parents had, specifically my dad, I have today. Yeah. One of them being pride, just proud to say, like I remember my parents, they were so proud to be able to say, I want to put my children through. First, it was, I want to be able to buy a house or fabricate this house back in Italy. Yeah. Then it was, wait a minute, my dreams are bigger than that. Yeah. I want to be able to put my kids through college, which they did. Both my brother and I get an education. And they said, you know, don't do what we did, right? Better life if you want your next generation to be better. Yeah. And then it was, I want to significantly contribute to your wedding, right? So it's these things.
They had these goals.
They had these financial goals, and they were very intentional savers.
Savers.
Yes.
What did they do?
So they were in the restaurant business. So my parents came, they still have a restaurant now and almost in retirement. So now, you know, they're very lucky. I told them to retire about 5 years ago, but again, talk about finances is making sure they're secure.
Yeah. Is it the same restaurant?
It's the same. Not when they first came. So when they first came, they worked for somebody. And then again, hey, I need to be an entrepreneur on my own.
Yes.
And so let me build this restaurant on my own. And so they did that.
Yes.
And then that's the restaurant that they have today.
And when you hear this story, like I'm getting chills because that is an amazing story.
Yeah.
And congratulations to your parents for all their tremendous success. Yeah. You and your brother are definitely reflections of that.
Of course.
But you don't talk about the sacrifices.
Oh my goodness.
That they had to make to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And as I'm sitting across from Daniela, if you're watching this podcast versus listening, she talked about how they were savers and you definitely, you know,
they had to say no to a lot of things.
Exactly.
And they did because they were so intentional on their goals.
Yeah.
They were so focused on, I think the main thing was creating a better life for the family. I want my kids, my legacy is that my kids are put in a better position than I am. I think that was it. And then these mini goals came into play, right? Like being able to, you know, they gave me my first car, right? It wasn't brand new, right? We couldn't afford that.
Yeah.
But it was, they wanted, that was pride was a big one. Discipline, growth. You know, when we talk about some of these values, the drive and to be able to say, I need to work and really invest, right? Investment, right? So a lot of it is sacrifice. A lot of it is investment, right?
Yeah.
That mindset
they're investing
is
in something else.
They're investing.
What part of that kind of sticks with you?
Ah, geez, so much, Elizabeth. I think so much. I think about, so because, my parents own a restaurant, of course, that was my first job.
Yes, of course.
Very young.
How old were you?
I think 14, right? Hopefully nobody's listening to that. And nowadays, I don't know if we could do that. But I was 14. I wasn't waiting tables. I was hostessing, but I was learning the value of money.
Sure.
And to be clear, because going back to my parents' values of they didn't want me to pay for anything because they wanted to provide that.
They wanted to provide it.
That was a goal of theirs, to provide that. They weren't the family that would ask for rent or anything like that. I think I started paying for my clothes when I was like 18, right? But I started to save because that was their mentality.
That's what they told you.
So I had this big mentality of, and I was, you know, at that age, 14, 15 years old, I was making good money, you know, several hundred dollars. And then when I was in my 18, 19, 20 years old, sometimes I would walk out with $1,200 a week. That's good money.
That's
back
great
then,
money.
Right?
Absolutely.
And I would stash it all away because that's what my parents told me to do. But it provided me that flexibility. And at that age, I didn't really know what was I saving for. I knew I was saving to move out and that, but
so, and it instilled work ethic.
The work ethic. Yes. And that was from my parents, that work ethic, definitely from my parents. And I remember that, you know, it was funny because I started to build skills that translated into who I am today. So those skills were customer service. When you're in the service business, in the restaurant, like you have to be on.
You have to be
smile,
on all the time.
Connecting
with people.
Especially
when it's your parents' restaurant or when 100%, they work there.
I'm a reflection of them.
Yeah.
So I learned those skills really early on of building. And I started to associate those skills with, oh, wait a minute. Check is higher. Good service. I make more money.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So I have to show up as my authentic self. I have to connect. And I think that that was a skill set that I carry on, is like building relationships, building that connection with people.
And that comes back to you.
That comes back to me, right? Is the relationship building and those values. I can't say enough about those values and instilling them in me and who I am today.
Yep. When we talked, and even so, our stories are very similar. My family was born here, but my parents both worked extremely hard. My mother worked in a dentist office and my father was a machinist, and they worked very, very hard to give us, I have two other brothers, so there's three of us, to give us the life that we have. Yeah. They wanted us to have more than they had, just like
same.
The parents. So putting us through college, we each got a little car to motor around in, and they were very proud of each of those things, as they should be. But in my house, money was definitely an issue. It wasn't always bad, but it wasn't always good, but it was always coming up.
Yep.
Coming up. Mm-hmm. Typically, it was more negative than positive.
Yes.
Typically is we don't have enough for what we need. And again, I lived a beautiful childhood. Nothing was, I didn't go without for anything, and neither did my brothers, but it was definitely always a source of, I'll say tension mm-hmm. is the best word.
Yep.
I don't know if you felt the same way or if it had any negative connotation.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I'm so glad you brought that up. It was something, you know, like the old saying goes, hey, money doesn't come on tree. You know, mm-hmm. money is not, I used to hear that probably every day, right? Mm-hmm. Like when, and I appreciate that because again, it showed me, but yes, it was this sense of, again, wanting to save. And, you know, the negativity I think comes in is a little bit of stress, yeah. right? Stress. Are we able to, you know, early on, are we able to make the payment, rent, right?
Yeah.
They, you know, another goal of theirs is to move out of, right, renting a home and owning a home, right? So can we make the rent? Do we want to buy, you know, be able to, you know, buy these things or buy these things for our children? You know, as a child, you don't understand, right? You're at the store. I want this. I want this. I want this.
Yeah.
For a parent to be able to say, I can't do that.
Yeah.
That's hard.
It's very different. You know, you and I are both mothers. So we say when we take our kids to the store, like we probably should say that more often. Oh, yeah,
100%.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So it's very, very different. And maybe we're fortunate because of that.
Gratitude for sure. And fortunate. And then I also wonder, I'm like, huh, what values, right?
Yes. Are we teaching our kids
the same values?
But right? You know, Danielle, we're not alone. Yeah. I was reading a recent article from Forbes that talks a lot about these unconscious biases that people have around money, that everybody has these money scripts, these yep. beliefs that they tell themselves. So I yep. want to go through them with you to see if anything resonates.
Absolutely.
So the first one they mention is money avoidance. Mm-hmm. You view wealth, whatever that definition means to you, with some level of disgust. Mm-hmm. Like you think rich people are greedy or mm-hmm. it's not okay to have more than you need or it's better to have less money. Mm-hmm. So you kind of just avoid
the conversation.
Yeah, yeah. Avoid the conversation, avoid the topic, avoid what you're doing.
Yeah. I can definitely appreciate somebody that resonating. It doesn't so much resonate with me. And again, I go back to values of wanting to do better. And financial security comes with that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yes.
And putting in a lot of work and time and effort and sacrifices. Yeah. In order to get there. So I don't think this one resonates so much with me. How do you feel about this?
This one resonates with me the yeah. most. There's no level of disgust for anybody wealthy. I actually admire and I envy and I love seeing people have money, make money, earn money. I love that. But the avoidance, I think, comes from maybe the tension in the household at one point, right?
Yes.
Or maybe always the confusion of, well, do we have it or do we don't have it? Like, can we pay the bill or can we not? So I think there is a little bit of an avoidance with me, or I notice I have to try a little bit harder. Like I have to force myself to say, okay, I got to check my accounts today, or I got to make sure I do all the bills this week, whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's definitely something I have to consciously make sure that mm-hmm. I do and get out of a space of avoidance.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah.
That.
So I can feel that one. But another one that they bring up is money worship.
Ooh, what's that one?
When everything you do is to pursue happiness through purchases. So you feel like you can only be happy if you're buying something new.
Yeah.
And you can just never have enough.
Yeah.
You can just never have enough money, never have enough stuff.
Mm-hmm. So it's funny that you say that, you know, so the saying happiness doesn't buy you money, money doesn't buy you happiness. And so this one, I can't really, hopefully I can relate with one of these, Elizabeth. This one I can't relate with, I think because money doesn't buy you happiness. It does make things easier. I do want to say that. It does make things easier. It does allow for less stress, less arguments, right? Because a lot of people, especially couples, they stress over money.
Yeah.
So I do believe that it's a tool and a resource.
Yeah.
But I can't resonate with that. Money does not buy happiness.
Yeah. I think it's the high people get when they purchase something.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that's a big phrase, right? Money mm-hmm. doesn't buy you happiness, but you do feel happy if you could go to the grocery store and buy the more expensive shampoo versus the other one, right?
Yep.
Or if you can take a vacation and not have to look at the room rate.
Like
those are little things that do make life easier. Yep. Or we have a 12-year-old daughter who is just living her life as though there's a tree in the backyard.
Yep.
Like
yep.
She, everything is just new. She just wants yes. everything new. She's in a phase where that's what she wants. Mm-hmm. And we could have gotten her X, but her friend got Y yeah. and now we need to get that.
Yeah.
So we're constantly having this conversation with her, but it is like almost like addicting. The addiction you're to right. like the high you feel like when you do purchase something new.
And saying that I can do that, yes. right? So I yes. guess, yes, that I could relate with that part, yes. right? Like I can do this because I worked hard or I can do this because I have the financial freedom to do it.
Yeah. So yeah. And sometimes if it doesn't resonate with our listeners either, take the inversion of it. Mm-hmm. What if you couldn't buy anything that you wanted?
Right.
What would that look and feel like?
Yep.
And would that really bother you? And that could help
what's
determine
that relationship yeah, like
yes. exactly that could help determine if that belief is for you.
Yeah.
The next one is money, linking your money status to your personal value. Yeah. Like my self-worth is my net worth. Yeah. Like if you've ever heard that phrase, mm-hmm. people need to see your wealth. Like you're only worth what money could buy.
Yeah.
Very, you know, very showy. The people who make sure everybody knows that it's X brand they're wearing
right.
or that they purchase X, Y, or Z, or they went on vacation for X, Y, or Z.
Yeah.
I know some people who never post online, but they just post where they are on vacation.
Yeah. Just throw it out there.
Just yeah. to make sure everybody knows.
Yeah. Now that you explained it a little bit more, I like the fact that I do the financial freedom aspect of it. I like that. The yeah. fact, again, working dual, I'm very lucky, very fortunate, dual income household. My husband makes the majority of the money in our household. I'm very fortunate for that. And although I like nice things just like anybody else,
sure.
I don't know if that does it for me,
sure.
if you will. I think it's more for me of being able to say yes to my children. And being able to say, yes, you know, we want to go on that vacation. That's a little bit more expensive that we would like, but you know what? You like this place for these reasons. Okay. We're going to do that because of the experience.
Yeah.
So I think that's the part that resonates with me more.
Yeah. 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 And there's part of this that you're right. Like we're looking at self, but if you look at how we treat our children, mm-hmm. like how does that sit with us as mothers, right? We want to give our children everything, but mm-hmm. at what cost?
At what cost? And also going back to teaching them values, yeah. right? I mean, I'm guilty of it. I many times say it, my parents are no, and no, uh-huh. to them. So I would say, no, let me tell you
yeah.
what that, right? So yes. I'm guilty of sharing yes. that. We actually had this conversation in our household. I think it was this week or last week about, hey, you know, we have two daughters, so 7 and 4, and they can understand the value, like doing chores and the things, start understanding. We said, you're going to make some money and you're going to spend it how you see fit.
Sure.
If you want to go out and buy toys, then that's what you do with your money. But if you want to save it, and these are the reasons why, I had this conversation with my, and it was $2, right? $2. I said, do you want to save it? And we went through this whole conversation, my 4-year-old Gia. And she said, I want to go to Target and buy a toy. I'm like, okay,
we'll try again.
Lesson 102.
We'll try again. yeah. The last one, which is interesting, the last money script people say we tell ourselves is money vigilance. Mm-hmm. So think Ebenezer Scrooge here.
Yeah.
Where all money should be saved. You shouldn't tell anybody how much you make. And it's overly extravagant to spend any money.
Yeah.
So you have all this money, but you're not
saving.
But you're not living life.
You're not
enjoying life.
Yeah. So again, I do believe, and it came from my parents. I do believe in this process and this belief of saving mm-hmm. and that. And I'm so happy for that.
Yes.
Right. Like I'm very diligent about that. You know, thankfully I'm in the financial services industry and so is my husband. So
we're
around it all the time. So we have that extra education. But being very diligent about saving, but I'm not a Scrooge about it for sure. Mm-hmm. There will be points in time where we say, okay, can we, like, do we want to be, to do X, Y, Z? Do we want to spend our money this way? No, but I can understand how that could, like, I go back to my parents and not Scrooges by any means, but I think saving is a big part of this when it comes to relationship with money and wanting to be for the future, right? So spending a little bit for today, but planning for the future, I think is big.
But think about, like, as parents or yourself, like, how does it feel when when you can't afford something. Yeah. And that is relative.
Awful.
Yeah. And that it's is, awful. That's a relative term.
Yes.
Whether you can't afford to buy yourself a new dress for a night out.
Yes.
Or whether you can't afford to pay your cell phone bill or whether you can't afford to go to the hotel that everybody else is staying at. Right. It's a relative comment. But what is that? You know, what does that do to you on the inside?
I think it breaks you down a little bit. Mm-hmm. Right. So I think for me, it's, you know, because there's many times where it's like, okay, we shouldn't do that or we can't do that.
Yeah. But that's a big differential right there is we can't or we shouldn't.
Yes.
And that's a conversation that I have myself, that I have with myself quite often when I don't like to use the word we can't afford because I think that's the word my parents always use. Right. So I hate that word.
We could do it. We're just going to have no money left over. Right.
Yeah. Like, and so I say to my kids, no, we can afford it. Like we have plenty of money,
but we have different priorities.
I don't want to, I just say, I don't want to spend it on that or I'm choosing not to spend it on that.
Yes, I agree. And that resonates with me.
Yeah.
That resonates with me a lot.
Yeah.
Of
flipping the script.
Flipping the script on it. And the priorities is a big one. Like going back to values and going back to, well, what are my financial goals? And being very intentional about these are my financial goals. Here's what I want to accomplish as a family, as an individual, because I think you should have individual goals too.
Definitely.
Individual and as a family. And where am I? You know, goes back to, right, what would you as coaches?
Yeah.
Where are you today? Where do you want to get to? And how do we get there? So that's where the discipline comes in, that value. And I think that's also where the priorities come in of where should or what is best for my family? What is best for us?
Yep. You mentioned financial goals for yourself.
Yeah.
What do some of those look like?
Yeah. So I think some of them, for instance, we wanted to put a pool in our backyard. That was a financial goal. So we're doing that next year, which is more expensive than I expected.
Always.
My goodness. Right. I think if I knew, I don't know, but making a certain amount of money in my career. Goals, so compensation goals, that definitely is a big one. Experience. I talked about that before. Experience for my children, being able to travel, being able to give them a better life, like just how my parents wanted to put us through college and they did. I want to be able to do that for my children.
Yeah.
And again, thank goodness, going back to what we're in the financial services industry, so we know how expensive that is. Will we get there? We're intentional. We know how much roughly we have to save. Yeah. So some of those sacrifices and investments have to be made. I'm trying to think of what else financial goals I have. What about you, Elizabeth?
You, home improvement.
Yeah.
There's a few different like little things around the house we just have to get done. Yeah. But I am just into savings.
Of course. I'll add that to mine.
We've been doing a lot of home improvement over the years. So we have a few little projects we need to finish up, but I need to refill that kitty. So that's what our focus is, and different type of fund investments and things like that. But that's what we need to focus on.
Yes.
But I think, you know, we think about the sacrifices or we think about how it feels when either you can't afford something or you don't want to buy something, but it's truly like any other form of discipline. So if you think about not eating a second piece of cake, if you think about not having, you know, five pieces of pizza or not having that third martini. Yeah. Like
as an example,
not that I do that, but as an example, you do these things to keep yourself in a better place.
Yep.
So saying no to, you know, I'm sure that I'm not alone when I walk into Target for like detergent and I walk out with $200 later.
Sure. Yes. Same.
Like saying no to all of that to benefit me moving forward.
Yep.
It's the exact same thing as going to the gym, right? Yep. You have to sacrifice the time and the pain if you want to keep yourself in shape.
Right.
Money or a budget. People think a budget is so awful, but a budget is just a monetary form of discipline.
Correct. It's a tool. It's a tool. Letting me know where I stand and what I can do and what I shouldn't or can't do. Right.
Yep.
I agree with that.
So we have a few tips on how to improve your relationship with money. So if when money comes up, you kind of feel a tinge in your stomach or you know that you need to, kind of just improve how you think about money, especially if you're in that avoidance category or that self-worth category, any of the four categories we mentioned, those are all tough. So you want to look inward, take a look at what your limiting beliefs are, and then say, okay, how can I flip this switch and pull myself out of these beliefs? So one way to do that is to find a financial role model. Mm-hmm. Who in your life manages money or has the type of wealth that you want, but also looking at who influenced you.
Yeah.
Typically it's your mom or your dad. Yeah. So what did they do really well? Mm-hmm. And what did they do that you never want to do or never want to share with anybody?
I love that. Right. Yeah. And really, I think taking a step back and reflecting on these is going to be really important.
Yes. The next one is, and you and I are going to love this one, but is it money or is it happiness?
Yes.
What are you shooting for?
Right.
Do you want that high of purchasing something? Like you talk a lot about it, having experiences for your kids and you're willing to pay for that.
Yeah.
I find that I'm willing to pay for convenience. I like to make my life as easy as possible on myself and my husband. Yeah. So I am always, always down for paying for something if it's going to make my life easier.
Yep.
But weighing that out, what is better?
Right.
You know,
and it's, you know, again, going back to money is a tool and it's a resource, doesn't buy happiness.
Yep.
It's a tool and a resource to help you do better, help you.
Yep.
But I don't believe it buys you happiness at the end of the day. It does not.
All the problems are still problems.
No. If you don't have those core values, I go back to that. No, you don't have those core values.
But I think it's like making that disciplined decision in the moment. Mm-hmm. So when we talk happiness, I don't think we mean overall life happiness.
Yeah.
I think we mean, I'm driving by Starbucks. Do I need to stop off and grab a $7 drink?
Correct.
Typically, I'm with my two beautiful daughters who are also going to want a drink. Yeah. So that trip will probably cost me $15.
Right. Yeah.
Do I need in that moment, am I going to choose saving the $15 or the happiness that they'd be thrilled if I were to pull in and buy them a treat? You know, I think it means like happiness in that exact moment.
I think you're right. I think it's this, and I don't want to use the word trade off. I think it's more of going back to what's your discipline and what are you focused on? Like what's more important to you?
Yes.
Whether it's at that moment.
Yes.
Or because sometimes in that moment, you're going to be like, I want the coffee. I really need the coffee.
Yes.
But in other moments, you're like, do I really need to spend $15 on, you know, two pink drinks and coffee,
definitely.
Which happens a lot. Yes.
Yep. And there are some moments where I'm like, nope, I want to have a treat with my girls.
Right.
And we're going to go sit at Starbucks and chit chat.
Goes back to that financial freedom of being able to do these things, whether it's spending $5 or $100.
Yep.
It's this.
Well, the trade-off. So if I spend $20 there, that means maybe my grocery bill has to be a little bit lower, like whatever it is. But depending on what your budget looks like, there's always a trade-off. In the majority of American households, there is a certain amount of money, not a finite amount, but a certain amount every week that everybody has to spend.
Yep.
And every day people have to make decisions on how they spend or how they save that money.
Yep. Absolutely. And that's a big one. And I think that also goes back to the intentionality, like making sure, like going through that process.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be stressful.
Yeah.
And so talking and communicating, I think, is important through that.
This is a big one. And I bet you this will resonate with a lot of people. Are you being honest with yourself about your finances?
Yes.
So do you even know, do you even have a budget? Mm-hmm. And not even budget, let's back up. Do you even know what your accounts look like?
Yeah.
Yep. Do you know how much money is coming in and going out on a daily basis?
Yes. That's such an important one.
I do a pretty good audit of our everyday spending, probably once a quarter.
Yeah.
And every quarter I am just shocked.
Yeah.
I am shocked at
where the money goes, right?
The Target runs, the Starbucks, the
Amazon.
Oh my God, Amazon. The lunches, like all of that stuff blows me away every time I look at my finances. And I am not honest with myself sometimes about how much we spend on those little conveniences or on like junk.
So this is, and it's so funny that this brought up because Eric and I, my husband and I, were talking about this particular thing. And we do an audit, right? We, you know, we're all lucky enough with the phone and with the computer system, you can look at, you know, where money is going in and out.
Okay. So another tip is understanding what role money plays in your general well-being.
Yeah.
So again, if you don't have it, or if you realize you can't afford something that you want, do you fall into a deep depression?
Yeah.
Or do you notice like when you get paid, that's like the highlight of your week. Mm-hmm. Like when the money is in your account for however much amount of time until the bills kick in, like that just serves you. So understanding like where money plays in your general well-being.
Absolutely. So You know, it's funny because, and every couple is different. So my husband and I, we pool, you know, and then
we do too.
And then it disperses right into savings accounts and, you know, on and so forth and all of these. And you know, I love my husband for many reasons. And one of, he actually creates accounts like pool account to just keep it separate, the tax account, for instance. And I love that he does that because, and also gives me, and I, you know, sometimes I'm like, are we good with the taxes? He's like, Danielle, we're good with the taxes. Right. Like, cause I, you know, maybe that's something that maybe I didn't pay attention to. And now that it's time, I'm like, oh, we're good. Right.
Yeah.
So
there's always one in every relationship that has to store. That's me storing that money aside.
So, I think that is really important to have that conversation, to do an audit. And we literally just talked about it the other day again, because we have some expenses coming up. Yep. So the conversation is at the forefront, right? Yep. You have changes to be made.
Yep. And understanding how that affects you.
Correct.
After you have that conversation, will you be in a bad mood?
Right.
You know,
you know, and I don't know about how you feel about this, but I think it's more right. Like I'm fortunate and lucky for what I do have that I don't know if I would be resentful, right? Or do I want to be like, I like the fact that if I want something on Amazon, I just buy it, right?
Sure.
Talk about convenience. It's a little too convenient to spend money. A little too convenient. I think they're smart there. Yeah. As talking through that, I think the most important thing as a couple.
So we're coming up on time, but I hope everybody listening took away, you know, some idea about what their relationship is with money, and then a few ways that they could maybe turn that script for themselves. But I think your relationship, just like any relationship, is ever evolving and ever changing, especially as you shift from maybe some, like your parents, from having nothing to maybe coming into your wealth and what that looks like, or vice versa. If God forbid you had a situation where you lost wealth, those are all very devastating. So, and those will all change your relationship with money. So checking in on that relationship every now and again is in everybody's best interest. But Daniela, thank you so much for this conversation.
Thank
it was
you.
Really fun to spend some time with you.
This was great. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Master Your Money. Please rate, review, and subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Every little bit helps. You can also follow us on our Instagram at Barnum Financial Group. If you're interested in connecting or working with a financial advisor at the Barnum Financial Group, the links are in the show notes of this episode.
All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions their respective parent companies or affiliates or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated. Investments or strategies mentioned in this program may not be suitable for you, and you should make your own independent decision regarding them. This material does not take into account your particular investment objectives, financial situation, or needs, and is not intended as recommendations appropriate for you. You should strongly consider seeking advice from your own investment advisor. Securities and investment advisory services offered through qualified registered representatives of MML Investor Services, LLC. Member SIPC, 6 Corporate Drive, Shelton, Connecticut, 06484, telephone number 203-513-6000.